What's up, everybody? Phil is back. Alexa's still taking her little break there, and I was supposed to keep taking a break, but I watched Survivor Guatemala, and so I wanted to do a podcast all about how to fix Survivor. So thank you all for joining on this. This isn't going to be some clickbaity type thing. These are really what I was thinking as I was watching Guatemala. I did that in the 3 weeks after the finale of Survivor 44. Survivor 44, I thought was a good season. I didn't think it was a great season. I know a lot of people just loved Carolyn Jam Jam and Carson so much that it kind of moves up their rankings, which I get. I have seasons like that where if I love Who Goes Far in Africa, perhaps, that makes something move up my rankings. But for 44, I felt like it was the third best season of the bunch. I felt like we really only got to know Carson, Carolyn, and Jam Jam. But there's always this conversation, especially after 44. There were so many articles and so many things that came out about how to fix Survivor. People blaming whether it was the casting choices, whether it was the fact that they were in Fiji, all whatever they could blame. I mean, I know Tommy Smokes had the big article over at Barstool. I know that I think there might have even been something from RHAP. I don't remember where else I saw it. I just remember that was the big one. And I know on Twitter it was a huge topic of conversation because it's something that people really are curious. Like, what do you think is wrong with the show? Because some people think the show is perfect right now. Some people absolutely love the show the way it is. And that's fine. You can love the show the way it is. I personally don't. I think a lot of the people who have been with it since day one are struggling to figure out exactly what is wrong. So my wife had never watched any seasons until we started dating. So we're going through the seasons 1 through 40. She actually started at the end of 39. So lucky her. I think her first episode might have been the Dan Spilo gets kicked out of the game episode. So that tells you everything you need to know about her Survivor journey. But we've been watching them in order, and we just watched Guatemala. And Guatemala, I know, is a season that kind of is forgotten to time. Nobody ever played again until Danny came back. I know Steph played, but Steph's originally Palau. Until Danny came back, nobody ever played again. And I think it's a really good cast. You know, Rafe is a very good character, but he's busy writing Uncharted movies now. And, you know, Brandon is a great character. Gary Hogaboom, I love. Amy's a great character, just goes too early. Brian's a great character. All of this is to say that when we sit here and we try to say the cast is the problem, I don't think the cast has ever been the problem in Survivor history. I don't think that's ever been the problem. I don't think there's ever a cast that I say they're the reason this season was bad. There are casts that look bad because of an edit or because of something like that. But you have to think that 16 to 20 people every year are getting cast by Survivor, by CBS, by all these people. They're going to be somewhat entertaining. Every now and then you're going to get a dud. And I mean, Guatemala has a couple that I'm like, eh, whatever. Like, they are what they are. I won't name names because Guatemala doesn't get enough credit anyway, so I'm not going to start being negative here. But when you watch the show, you realize that the casts are always good. They're always good. And you have to think nowadays, Carolyn, Jam Jam, Carson. Steph was probably bigger than Carolyn at the time when Palau came out. Steph was iconic. Steph was America's sweetheart. Steph was all this stuff. So it just kind of depends on what the environment is, right? What do people want? Do people want the alpha female type character in Steph, or do they want the more zany, crazy LGBTQ Carolyn? It's up to you, right? Like that's kind of just where are we as a society? So I'm going to kind of talk about what I actually think Survivor can fix, because I don't think casting is their problem. I don't think casting is their problem at all. I'm looking at the comments over here. Everybody keep throwing comments in. 26 days is not something I'm going to talk about here, although it is so noticeable how much better 39 days are than 26. 39 days are so much better than 26 days. It's just so much more full. And again, that's nothing on a cast. And the editors have so much more to work with. And these people really do start to go crazy. Having those off days is huge. Having the off days makes it so that people have to sit there and suffer and be bored and try to find something to do. And those create really good moments. I think about, you know, this is going to sound like a praise of Guatemala. The only reason Guatemala is the one that is being used as the example is because it's the season I most recently watched. And I feel like it's a great example of Survivor taking a lot of chances, But think about like the Guatemala scenes with Jamie and Rafe. We're learning so much about Jamie and how Jamie is just losing his mind. A lot of the reason why Judd goes home in this season is because they had downtime where he's sitting up there talking and they think that he's going to vote them out. 26 days is a big rush. So I totally agree with that, but there's only so much that you can do. There's only so much that you can do when you're production or if you don't have total control, right? So I'm not going to talk about the 26 days. I've talked about the 26 days to death. I'm going to talk about the things that I saw in Guatemala that are very prevalent in those early seasons, whether it's Palau or Vanuatu or even going all the way back to Borneo, and things that were there pretty much up until the 30s and maybe midway through the 30s. And I feel like they were even there in small pieces in 38 and 39. But what it all boils down to at the end of the day is creativity. Creativity is the number one word of this episode. If you take nothing else away from this, if anybody from Survivor production or anybody important listens to this episode, which you're all important, but if anybody CBS important listens, how to fix Survivor, colon, creativity. That is the easiest answer there will ever be. Creativity is the way to fix Survivor. And I feel like right now, they're not being creative. Yeah, they just had the Birdcage Idol, and that was a fun little twist, a very minor twist kind of on what they were already doing. Because remember, in season 41, Brad trips over an idol clue or whatever it is. But creativity is the key. And it's in so much more than just what they're doing at Camp Life or flipping things around and all of that. It's how they get creative. And that was my number one takeaway from Guatemala. And it all starts with what I think is a really fun idea that they don't do anymore. And it's something we're all begging for. Interesting tribe swaps. Not just picking out of a bag, not just putting your hand in and pulling out a rock and being like, oh no, I'm on a different tribe. I'm over it. We're all over it. It's the same thing every time that they do a tribe swap. And this has been going on. I don't remember what the first season to do this was, but this has been going on since the 30s. I mean, probably since the 20s. I don't know when the last time we actually saw people pick their tribes or do something like that. But there's no creativity to the way they divide these tribes up anymore. We get our original starting tribes, and then when there is a swap, the swaps are... This season, it was a little bit different, right? Because they all went to the island, and then they moved over one spot. So we had like one person switch, but it really didn't even feel like a full tribe swap. Like it didn't feel like there was enough maneuvering there. It kind of felt like it just screwed Josh and Carson. And who was the other one who got flipped? Oh, and Jamie. Kind of felt like it just screwed them, right? They were getting a little bit more creative. So I have to give them the credit for that because at least they're moving in the right direction here. But I look at how the one in Guatemala played out. This was coming off a season where they had no tribe swap. Season 10 had nothing, and that's why Oolong just gets absolutely decimated. So they come into this one, and they sit them all down for like a half auction-type situation. The teams sit down, and they write down answers to questions Jeff asks. Who needs food? Who needs a bath? Who needs a shower? Whatever. And based on the answers that are collectively done by the tribe, one, we as an audience learned so much about how they feel about each other. This was a great thing that we used to see in the old days where they would ask the questions, who is the laziest? Who's getting a free ride? And then, you know, that would do that. But you'd find out so much and that would create tension. That would create drama. And then they ask the question, they send Gary and Amy off their feast, their picnic. I forget who they even go with. And when... The next question is, who has the most tribe spirit? And it ends up going down. And those people who have the most tribe spirit stay on their tribes. And again, it screws them, right? Like this is similar. This is the Guatemala swap is very similar to this one. Brian got kind of screwed. However, the people who went on this reward, this we're going on a picnic, went back to their original tribes. So it wasn't like Brian was totally by himself in this situation. Gary and Amy came back and also joined up with him. So we had a 4-3 split. Yes, Yashaw was in the lower numbers, but it still had opportunity as opposed to, well, Jamie's over there now and we're going to give her an idol so that she's safe. Or Josh is going to have an idol so that he's safe. And Carson is going to have an idol so that he's safe. That to me is so lazy because guess what? At that first tribal council, when Yashaw's down in numbers, it's an Akum who goes home. It's Blake who goes home. Golden Boy goes. And I think that Survivor gets, the production team is getting too worried about, well, if we do this, it's going to be unfair for this, or it's going to be unfair for that. Just do it. Let the players play. And in this season, you see Brian and Gary and Amy use Blake, talking about, somebody mentioned it here, talking about his girlfriend in an explicit way. They use that against him. They use that against Nakum to get him voted out of the game. And it's really good gameplay. There's no idols involved. At this point in this show, there were no idols. They didn't know that the idol was coming. That doesn't happen until the merge of this season. But all of that's to say, it's so creative how they designed this entire situation. The entire situation from top down. Have the teams come in. They're not actually competing against each other for reward. They're picking who needs this stuff. And they can't vote for themselves, but they're picking who needs this stuff. And then based on the decisions of the tribe, a swap comes out of it. It's not as random as Marquesas. And it's not as, what do you call it, chosen. I don't know what the opposite of that would be. But like Gabon, where they rank them and then people pick based off of the ranking and everything. And Bob, who was number three, still doesn't get picked. But anyway, it's a different element. And it's not just, oh, I'm the one who randomly chose the short stick this week. And that means I'm going, and I happen to be going over to Shipwheel Island on the week where they're going to do the tribe swap. It's not random. There's still a randomness to it because you don't necessarily know what's going to happen, but there are decisions being made by the players. And that's a huge thing that we're just not seeing as much anymore, is these decisions being made by the players. Another huge one in Guatemala that they never do again, and it's really shocking because that was season 11, now we're in season 44. The reward challenge where you ate something based on what place you finished in the challenge. This leads to a phenomenal moment of Jamie giving up his spot wherever he was and having and going to the back of the line and being all heroic and then being miserable as he's sitting there eating the nuts. But this also has it where everybody has to sit there and watch Judd and Stephanie and Bobby John get absolutely hammered, eat whatever they want, and they're sitting there eating rice. Lydia gets one little fish. It creates drama. It creates tension. It creates this annoyance towards other people. I mean, Judd being drunk and smoking the cigar, people started getting aggravated with Judd over this kind of stuff because he was so loud and just like in your face with it. And, you know, I think it's earlier on in the show, but Rafe starts talking about the axis of evil. But these types of creative decisions, there's no reason they can't do that at the Sanctuary right now. I understand, like, one of the biggest things that we noticed in the early seasons is location, how they use location. I mean, in Guatemala, they're sleeping in the Mayan ruins. It's freaking epic. They can't go in the water because of the crocodiles. But even aside from that, just look at Palau. They're on an island just like in Fiji. But how do you get creative with that? I understand that we're in Fiji and we've been in Fiji for 10 straight, 11 straight, 12 straight seasons, whatever the hell it is. It doesn't matter. Okay, we only have the Sanctuary available to us. Do unique things with the Sanctuary. Why can't we do some sort of ranking again? Why can't we? Why can't everybody go on the reward? But the people who win get steak and lobster. And the people who are in eighth or ninth place, they get rice. Why can't it be something like that? The Sanctuary has become this kind of lazy, we're going to go make sandwiches that take our department 15 minutes to make. Our chef has to sit down, find the peanut butter jar and spread it onto a piece of bread, and you're going to get your own little bag lunch. It's redundant. They don't mean anything now. They go on these rewards, and rewards used to mean so much. Every season where they would actually pull these people away, it was about, okay, how are the people who were left behind hurt by this decision? How upset are they that they didn't get to go, or that they weren't picked to go? Because we don't really see much picking going on anymore. We do to an extent, but it's not as often as it used to be. And when they are picked, we don't really see the repercussions. It feels like the rewards were designed to create repercussions because people had to pick who was going to come with them. When Judd picks Steph and Cindy to have his to have their loved ones come back to camp with them, we don't have the loved ones on island anymore. But there are ways to do this where people have to make decisions. And I just think that is so important to the show. And it's what's missing, because when people are having to make decisions and when they're having to hurt people and leave people out and people are getting, that creates your narrative, that creates your story. My biggest complaint with seasons 41 through 44 is that I don't really understand the story half the time. I still don't understand why we didn't see Erica's story early on. And Danny and Deshaun are talking about what a threat she is. And I feel like that was only thrown in because she ultimately went on to win the game. If she finished second, we probably would have never seen that scene. The story isn't there a lot of the time because we're not seeing those aspects anymore. We're just seeing, oh, they all went, they ate, they talked, they giggled for 5 seconds, and then they come back to camp and everybody who was at camp is just kind of there. I understand that there's a lot more with idols and that type of strategic game plan. I'm not saying that's not going to go away. I can't make that go away. But there's a way to do it where it feels like you're getting a little bit of everything. And when I watch these older seasons, I feel like the episodes feel so much more full and there's so much less going on, but it just feels so much more full. So I think that they need, like Survivor and production, they need to start being creative again with how these rewards are divvied up, with how they determine certain aspects of the game. I just think that is a key component to this. Those are easy fixes. You can't leave Fiji. You can't go more than 26 days, but you can figure out ways to make the sanctuary better. You can figure out ways to creatively split these tribes and make it more within the hands of the players. Don't just make it random you went to Shipwheel Island. Don't just make it random you went over to whatever. You found this, you found that in the woods. You were the one who was picked or finished second in some reward. Who knows? Make it so that the players are making the decisions, because that's when Survivor is its most compelling, because those are the reasons why people get voted for to win or get voted out of the game, or big blindsides happen because people get really frustrated with other people. It's huge. Guatemala was the biggest example of that. And it's when Judd goes on a reward and starts talking about being willing to vote out, I think it was Rafe. And that makes Rafe want to vote him out. And Rafe and Steph, Danny is able to use that to vote out Rafe and Steph. So I just think, or use that to vote out Judd with Rafe and Steph. So those are the moments that we're missing. And somebody said, okay, now we have Christian Gal says 90-minute episodes with 39 days is a great combo. But it's going to be 90-minute episodes with 26 days. And what is going to be added in here? Because if it's just going to be more of people looking for idols, or if it's going to be like random backstories on people, I don't think that that's what we want to fill this half hour with. And I think that if they can get back to 39 days and keep doing these 90 minutes, that would be massive. I mean, that would really change the dynamic and everything about this show. And I'd be all about that. Because I think that's when they have to start getting more creative, because every episode starts to feel the same. But right now, I feel like every season feels the same. I always talk about, I think 41, 42, 43, 44 are really hard to differentiate. They feel almost identical. 41 and 42, back to back, they're the same show. They're the same season. You'll have different characters, but it's the same season. The hourglass twist, it's the same twist, it's the same everything. It's a lot of the same challenges. Everything happens with the same timing. This 44 was a little bit different, and it seems like they're trying to move away a little bit, But we need to get creative with it. And I'm just going to keep on saying that. We just need to get creative with that. Another one that is just massive, absolutely massive. And I always talk about it on this podcast and I always bring it up. And I think part of me doesn't really understand what I'm talking about until I go back and rewatch these other seasons. Challenges are so much more than just entertainment. The fact that we are watching the challenges we are watching is why I will never rank these seasons as high as people who started, you know, in the 30s or something. When people, like when I put out a tweet that was like, you know, an initial knee-jerk reaction, I have season 43, 27 spots higher than season 44 and or 41. And as most of you are going to know, season 41 is going to be my bottom tiers, my lowest ranked season. But when I look at the challenges and I watch old Survivor, that's Survivor. That's what I want Survivor to be. I want Survivor to be the challenges and the physical and everything like that. And right now, without having that, I can only put these seasons so high because I don't feel like I'm really watching normal Survivor. And so what I'm talking about with challenges is this. These challenges used to tell you so much about the characters. So much. In Guatemala, they do the one challenge where Amy rolls her ankle. And it swells up to the size of like a bowling ball. It's huge. And then she comes out and she has to do a challenge. She's limping. I'm not going to go out. I'm not going to show them I'm hurt. I mean, she's limping around. But we're getting so much about who Amy is as a person. She goes out in the one challenge. She gets hit again and gets hurt. And doesn't have a choice because her team only has two women. But to participate again, and it's the giant boulder challenge. She comes out and she wins it. And we learned so much about her there. That's where the Bobby, John, and Jamie rivalry came from in that season. In Palau, that's where we saw how amazing Tom Westman was at leading a tribe. Okay? That's where we saw him take over and dominate. And that's where we understood why Karor was going to wipe the floor with Oolong. The challenges being so samey is terrible. It's so much worse than I even probably said during season 44. And again, when I say 41 is my least favorite season, it's not the cast that makes it my least favorite season. Because I think a lot of times we just immediately go to, oh, it's the cast or it's who won the season or it's something like that. I don't think that has anything to do with what makes really good Survivor. Every now and then, yeah, you're going to want to root for a Rupert or a Johnny Fairplay a little bit more than you're going to want to root for a Brian and a Clay. Yeah, for sure. But the casts are always good and it's always going to be entertaining. But how are we making them interact? How are we making them interact? And when you do the same challenges all the time, and none of them are even remotely physical anymore. Back in the old days, you used to go head to head. I mean, I think about James throwing the giant thing at Randy's head in Heroes Villains. And Randy, 50-year-old Randy, whatever the hell he was, in the mud already, and James throws it at his head. That tells you James isn't some freaking hero. James was not this hero that he was built up to be in Micronesia and China, but it's awesome. It's so fun to watch. And there you have Randy, who was so despicable in Gabon, and you feel bad for him, but you learn so much about those, that dynamic and the challenge. You have Courtney screaming from the side, "I always knew you weren't a hero, James." And in that first challenge, right, of Heroes versus Villains, we have Steph pop her shoulder out. And we see that Steph is so much different than most people, where she's going to pop it back in. She doesn't care. I mean, I think about the Guatemala Final Three challenge. She's literally standing there until she physically can't move anymore. And then she just plops and she can't get up and she's crying on the ground. I mean, you learn so much about these people from these challenges when you're going head to head, when you're going and having to decide who we going to put up against who. Let's do 2 versus 2. Let's do 3 versus 3. Grab a ball and throw it in a net. Make it more exciting. And You can't tell me that these are that insane to build. Do you have to build the Mayan Eagle from the end of Guatemala? No. Do you have to build the Hero Maze from the end of Heroes versus Villains? No. But these aren't insane things to build. You have a beach where you can run challenges? Great. Figure out a way to make it more unique. We don't need a puzzle at the end of everything. Guatemala's challenges are close every time. Almost every single challenge goes. Oolong's challenges half the time are close in Palau. Oolong comes so close to beating Karor a lot of times. And there's barely any puzzles. We don't need a puzzle to level everything out every time. It's so boring. Because as you sit there and you watch, if a challenge has do this, do that, do this, and then do a puzzle, turn off the challenge for the first 2 minutes. It's never going to be that person's fault that they lose the challenge. It's never going to be their fault. Because if the puzzle wasn't a great equalizer, they wouldn't put it in. It's always the same. And yeah, Carson kind of broke that this year. But I don't want Jeff promoting that. And like, I'm fine with Jeff commending Carson and commending Matthew. Do the puzzles, build the thing in your backyard. That's awesome. Good. I'm fine with him commending that. But now as a producer, you better figure out how to fix that so that Survivor doesn't become something that you can train for beforehand. It's too damn meta. It's just too damn meta. And I understand that you can only go so far with that. You can't really change the meta aspect of things because people have seen so much Survivor now. They're such big fans that it's always going to be meta. You're always going to be saying, oh, this person made that mistake, or I'm not going to be the one who did blank. You're never going to be able to go back to the pure nature of, I don't even remember what happened two seasons ago because I haven't heard from these people and there's no streaming service to watch it. So if I don't have the VHS tapes, I don't know what's going on. You're never going to be able to go back to that purity, and that's fine. But these challenges should be so much more exciting than what they are. And when you had a blowout challenge, like I think about the blowout challenge in Guatemala is when Brandon cuts through the rope and Jamie can't get through the rope. It still tells you so much about these people. Brandon chopping through that rope is insane. Jamie not being able to do it is frustrating as hell to him. And then he wants to finish the challenge. And Stephanie, no, Jamie, we already lost. Shut up. You're being an idiot. Like, whatever. They're like insulting each other as Brandon and all them are coming down the cart and Bobby John's waving his legs. And it leads to feuding between the tribes. And it's why the tribes don't end up really voting together ever post-merge until it's too late. And it's pretty much just the Danny show. But We don't see that stuff anymore. You need to be able to build up that frustration and that hatred for the other side. And I think that's fine. And the hatred is always short-lived. I mean, Bobby John and Jamie are buddies once they hit the jury. They don't care. But there needs to be something more physical about this, something more exciting about this. There's really nothing exciting about these challenges anymore. There's nothing exciting. Because every time it's do this, do that, do this, and then do a puzzle. And everybody always gets to the puzzle. 95% of the time they get to the puzzle. And in the individual portion of the game, you can get away a little bit more with having the puzzles and stuff like that. For me, it's really the early stages of the game. When you're a tribe, make the physical matter more in some of the instances. Because what's funny is, as they talk about, oh, we want to make it fairer for everybody and blah, 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 this is still resulting in a lot of the perceived weaker, air quotes, people being voted out early. I mean, the whole storyline around season 44 was that the early game is unfair to the female characters, the female players, because it's too physical. But everything was ending with a puzzle, wasn't it? I don't remember all of the challenges, but I feel like most of them were ending with puzzles. So yeah, it's physical. But there was always that makeup period. I mean, I think Guatemala, I think Lydia would chop a rope and that would be her entire thing for the entire challenge. I just think like the challenges need to be more creative. It's a way to build character. It's a way to get us to understand the players, to understand who they are as people. Who are the people who are going to try to figure out a way, even if they don't necessarily have the means? And who are the people who are just going to stand around and do absolutely nothing because they're just too damn tired? That's what Survivor needs. And I don't need to watch people go out there and get hurt every challenge. I don't need Ben running around tripping people. And I mean Ben from 19, not Ben from 35. I don't need that. I don't need him running around tripping people and Jeff kicking people out of challenges. I don't need James tearing his ACL or whatever the hell he did. But I do think that there needs to be a little bit more physicality to the challenges in a way that is putting these characters against each other. Not just putting them, not just physical for the sake of physical. Physical and butting heads. Because that was always something that you would see, like, that's where these smaller players, these weaker players could prove themselves. If you had to go head to head, right? Like back when they used to do that, the sumo wrestling challenge, I don't remember what it is. But when you used to do that and you used to run at each other, that gave the weaker players to show I'm better than the weakest player on that tribe. I might not look like James, but I can take down my equal counterpart on that tribe. And so who scored you points today? I did. The perceived stronger, this was a prime example in Palau, the perceived stronger people couldn't compete head to head. And it was Oolong where they were talking about the women kicked ass. Because they had the opportunity to prove their worth, like in that physical capacity. And, you know, you can't sit here and say, oh, well, Jonathan and Marianne are going to have the same physical capability. They're not. But who is Marianne stronger than whoever is on the other tribe that is her equal in air quotes? Like by removing the head-to-head aspect of it, they really did eliminate a way for some of these people to really prove that they are worthy. Like they are strong. They are that, like, and I think that's why, I think that's actually when it's a little physical and these people are, oh, she could barely pick up this. Okay. But if, why should that person have to pick up a 50-pound bag? That's easy for somebody like Jonathan. That might not be easy for somebody like Romeo. So who does Romeo go against on another tribe to make it a little bit easier, more even, whatever. Challenges are just a big deal. Challenges need to change. So creative ways to split up tribes, challenges, creative ways to do something with the rewards. We need something creative in the rewards. They're just not doing that anymore. And a couple other little things like the car reward in Guatemala. This is so messed up. Where they Cindy wins and then she has the option to give four cars to four other people. But those are the types of social dilemmas that we're not getting anymore. We're really not getting those. Like putting people in a position where they feel bad doing something. We're not putting people in those positions anymore. It's like too easy. It's too nicey. I know like a lot of the complaints were, oh, the cast is too nice. The cast is this. There's no villains. There are villains. Jesse was a villain. Ricard was a villain. You know, like there's villains. James was a villain. But like putting people in positions, the Wraith dynamic where he's talking about, of course I would give up the cars, and Danny's leaning into it to make him feel good, while Stephanie's like, I would never give up the car. You got to be kidding me. We know so much about these people. So making the players make decisions rather than the producers making decisions is huge. And it's something that really needs to come back on this show. Players need to be the ones playing the game, not production. And so that's just like a little throwaway one. One that's probably never going to come back, but it'd be so nice if they could do it, are the idol clues. I know this season we had with the birdcage, everybody had to go find the key or whatever. And now we've all seen this island so many times. We all know the nooks and crannies to look in, but I do feel like the clues just make it so much more fun. And, you know, it was something that you used to get. If you won something, you got a clue to this. If you won something, you got a clue to this. It used to make it really fascinating. And it led to some great moments. Cause you like, that was Judd never lied in the game, but he's telling everybody it's on the ground and Gary finds it in the tree. And Gary's like, you lied. Like, I found it here. Why were you looking in the trees if it's on the ground? And, you know, I always think about Sari and Kathy going back and forth in Micronesia because of that. And then how easy it was for Ozzy and Sugar and Dan Kay back in Gabon. Those types of things we can't get anymore because it's, like, too easy. And instead we get those random things where they run around. Like, we saw Kane talking about, oh, it's like a Dungeons & Dragons game. And he's just running around. And I'm like, Why do I care though? Like, why do I care? It's, again, not something on Kane. It's just, why do I care about whatever it is that they're doing? I don't know. Just a little bit more work, right? A little bit more work into this stuff. But what it all really comes down to is creativity. Just creative, 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 creative. Be creative with the decisions. Be creative with the way that you're splitting up the tribes. Be creative with the way when you do a tribe swap, let people pick. Like, let people pick. I want to watch people also pick when they do a reward. And people have to sit out. And there's 9 people and they pick 1, 2, 3, 4. And it's this person who has to sit out because they weren't picked. I want that. I want to see those moments. That's what creates the tension. That's what creates the drama. That's what creates the excitement. You know, I don't like the chop challenge. I think the chop challenge sucks, the coconut challenge. But Guatemala's was interesting because Lydia goes after Stephanie because Lydia says Stephanie eats too much. Stephanie goes on a tirade over that at back at camp because it showed her where she stood with Lydia, and Lydia was allowed to voice her frustrations. I don't think people are allowed to voice their frustrations enough right now. And, you know, everybody's randomly picking a rock or a stick or whatever to go over to Shipwheel Island. And okay, that's fine. They go over to Shipwheel Island. Like, production's giving them the opportunity to choose, but people are kind of scared to go over and do it. And so these things are so random. I love when Jeff stands next to them while they're on a mat and says, you must make a decision right now. Make your decision. Go. I love that. I think that's great for the show. I think it's awesome. And I think that's what needs to come back. These are things that they can do in Fiji with 26 days. Like, these are things they can do. I don't know why they're not. It's a complacency thing. But like, when I watch Guatemala, Guatemala is infinitely better than the new era of Survivor. It just is. It just is. And Guatemala is not that well-loved of a season, I feel like. But I feel like it is just what it's so much different of Survivor than what we're seeing now. But it's more exciting. The challenges meant something. It wasn't, let's rush through the challenge so that we can go to who's going to be at tribal council and who's going to be voted off. You weren't just sitting there. You don't just sit there, I feel like, in the old seasons of Survivor and think who's going to get voted off tonight the entire time. You're thinking about it as it comes, but throughout the rest of the episodes, you're kind of along for the journey. And I feel like nowadays it's, oh, who's going to get voted off tonight? When they have their moment, does this mean that this is their end? This means they're going home? Maybe we're just dissecting it too much, but I do feel like that is something that's on the editors and on the people. I'm going to look at some comments because I know it's been blowing up here. So bear with me as a solo member right now. I need to figure out how I can read these and also continue to have a conversation with all of you. I'm going to say this first. Red Sox gal hangout. My favorite season is Kara Moen. I'm just going to leave that there in the air. Thanks for listening, but woo. Kirsten gal, budget cuts from CBS, the problem. It is. But everything I've said, with the challenges might take a little bit more in terms of budget, but everything else isn't. It's not. The sanctuary's there. So use the sanctuary for more interesting ways to divvy up the rewards and stuff. That ranking system of 1 through 8, you can do that anytime. The initial auction type challenge, whatever the hell it's called in Guatemala, you can do that anytime. When they rank the players on their tribe in Gabon, you can do that anytime. You tell me they can't go build a stick, a totem for people to stand on. Cork saws, the format is too repetitive now. I think a lot of people agree with that. Here's Save Our Planet Entertainment. I guarantee you 75% of challenges next season are sprint to obstacle, get puzzle pieces, do a coordination test or another obstacle, do the puzzle. It's so repetitive. And when you watch these earlier seasons, you realize, man, they weren't doing the puzzle every time. And these challenges were still damn exciting. And they were still really close. Still really, really, really close. The live events, this was Red Sox gal hangout again. Missed the live events. I mean, I think we all missed the live events. The live events were great. Let's see. Bandit Survivor. I agree, Phil. There are no new challenges, no themes to explore, repetitive structures, and a lot of twists seem half-baked. goes back to what you're saying, lack of creativity. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Like when I was watching, because during 44, I was talking a lot about, oh, they're not doing this. They're not doing this with the edit. They're not doing this with the players. The players start to feel the same. I mean, I feel like Survivor has casted more diverse people, and yet we're seeing the same iterations of the diverse people. Like it feels like the characters are all the same, right? And Survivor went through that problem back in Guatemala, Palau, all that. The Silver Fox of Tom and Tagari into Terry, are you kidding me? They're the same thing. They're all the same thing. You start to see that a lot, no matter what era of Survivor. So that's not the problem. But I would talk about what I thought the problems were. And after watching Guatemala, I'm like, no, it's the creative. It's the taking chances. And the Birdcage Idol was a creative twist. It really was. And it created some drama and it created some fun. And Carolyn had her moment and that was exciting. But there's more ways to be creative than just around idols. There are ways to be creative with challenges. There's way to be creative with giving out rewards and choosing tribe swaps and doing that. We haven't seen a good old fashioned, just like, here's how we're going to, you pick how your tribes are going to divvy up. You're the captains. Who has the most tribe pride? Great. Pick those people. And now those people are going to pick their tribe, and they can't pick their first pick. Can't be from their original tribe. I wish they would do it. I wish we could do it. Jayburn Aquatic, the auction is so easy to fix. Just don't give them any game-related things, just food or a shower or whatever. It's so simple. I agree. And I think one of the bummers is the auction, Guatemala kind of started to ruin the auction, because Guatemala was when Danny got the advantage for the immunity challenge, and then she ended up winning the immunity challenge. But after that, after the immunity advantage, it was the loved ones. And I think that I just think that, like, if Jeff were to come out and say there are going to be no advantages in the game, there will be no idols, there will be no extra votes, there will be nothing. No advantages in the next reward challenge, and there's no family visit. This is literally just to sit here and eat food. You have fixed the auction. The auction is fixed. It's fixed. Save our planet again. I want physical challenges back. How expensive is to build a pole in the ground, have someone hold on to it? Exactly. And somebody try to pull them away. It's so much fun. Yeah. And then Neo Curl, bring 39 days back, remove the, I can't vote because I risked my vote for a shitty advantage at the beginning of the game. That's a huge one. I mean, we're seeing way too many people not be able to vote. And I do think that that is, hurting the game for sure. So like they're trying to be creative with like things that don't need to be creative with. The votes, the idols, other twists and advantages, like those need to kind of just be what they've always been. Let's see. The Bandit Survivor, I'd love if they use Fijian history or mythology to inspire these seasons if they stay in Fiji. It was a cool part of Cambodia and would add a lot more culture to the show. I'm almost back to watching Survivor Fiji. So I'm excited if I actually get, like, when I get to that one. But I feel like they do some with the Fiji history and stuff in that. But, yeah, it's not hard to implement this stuff. Just implement it a little bit. Implement it just a little. I mean, that was always so much fun. Like, in China when they're reading The Art of War, and in Guatemala when they're talking about, like, we're neighboring tribes. We're at war. And Bobby John, when they go over and they do the pool party together, and Bobby John gives them the whole well, you know, the Chiefs used to sit down, and CBS had to have eaten that shit up and been like, hell yeah, let's do it. Let's see. Save our planet again. An extremely underrated topic on what Survivor can fix is tribal itself. Tribal used to be a character in itself. Now it's absolutely ass. Nothing happens. No jury questions happening either. The old jury format was a lot of fun. I do miss the old jury format. I think the old jury format created a lot more bitterness, and a lot more like kind of sticking it to each other. And nobody was able to just allowed to have certain things. So I do miss that. Tribal, I think they spend too much time at nowadays. When you go back and you watch some of these older seasons, they're spending like 6-7 minutes at tribal. And now it's like tribal itself is telling its own story in every single episode. And I never really realized that so much, but there's so much time being spent at tribal, because Jeff always said, oh, we can't do the intro anymore or the previously on Survivor because we just don't have enough time. back in the day, they used to be 3-4 minutes long for all of that stuff. Then you go to your first commercial break and you're not starting the episode till 8:08, 8:09. And the episode still felt so full. Well, that's because Tribal wasn't the focal point of the episode. And I feel like right now, Tribal is the focal point of that episode. So yeah, I think shortening that a little bit would be a good thing for the show, to give us, I don't know, a little bit more time just doing other things. I'm going through, I'm at 10:27, so I'm almost there. Let's see. Yeah. Matthew Rigari mentioned how the Final Four challenge has been the same for the past several seasons. Ridiculous. I mean, again, that goes back to lack of creativity. And these people are so creative. I've met a bunch of the people. I mean, Will, who used to podcast with me and did a bunch of challenges and stuff. He's one of the most creative people you're going to meet. He's ridiculous. He's annoyingly creative, because when you live with him, all he wants you to do is, hey, can you take a look and see if this works for me? Can you take a look and see if this works for me? He's always thinking about puzzles and this and that, whatever. I mean, there's so much that can be done with this. There's so much that can be done. A show like Survivor has some of the most creative people in Hollywood working on it. You know, the sitcom people, sure, they're a little creative, you know, whatever. But when you're having to create something from nothing, these are some of the most creative people in Hollywood. So they have it. They just got to actually use it. Let's see. Boop, 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 boop. Just reading through a little bit. Yeah, Cork Sauls. Jeff loves to redo the same format with a few tweaks here and there. The first 40 seasons all had their own identity, and these new seasons are so interchangeable. They really are. They really, really are. It feels really hard to differentiate them, and I'm hoping that one day I can figure it out. Why, you know, they just got to do different things. That's really what it is. They just need to do different things. Yeah, Save Our Planet says 61 people watching and only 13 likes. Get those likes up, people. Yeah, do that. I'm doing this. I'm here for breakfast with all of you on a Wednesday morning. So how's it going? But yeah, those are my big things, right? So when people are putting out all these articles and whatever about how to fix Survivor, a lot of it is focusing on the cast. A lot of it is focusing on what some are calling kind of like the fake diversity of Survivor. And I'm using air quotes on that, but like where you're casting a more diverse cast, but it's all the same iterations of those diverse people. You know, it everybody is kind of like, this is who this person is going to be. And now I'm going to get them 4 straight seasons. And then this person, I'm going to get them 4 straight seasons. And then this person, like, there's really no difference between certain characters from 41 and 42 and 43 and 44. Like, they all kind of fall into the same thing. So I think that's where people are going. But I really think the biggest way is, if they're going to keep going, if you're going to keep casting the way you're casting, and there's going to be a lot of super fans who are going to understand the game, the easiest way to make this more entertaining and more interesting for us as the viewer, the easiest way to do all of that is just get more creative with what you're doing. Put the players in position to make tough decisions that aren't about, oh crap, I'm going to lose my vote, but oh crap, I'm going to piss off this person and they're not going to vote for me to win now. Because I firmly believe that with like season 43, when people say, oh, it's a bitter jury. Good. They have every right to be a bitter jury. Jury management is a massive part of this game. Nobody has to vote for you. If you piss off the jury and they don't give you their vote, just like Natalie White in Samoa, when she gets the votes because Russell pisses off everybody, his terrible jury management. I think Russell played the better game, but he didn't know how to manage the jury. It's a huge part of the game. It's a huge part of the game. So go back to making the tough decisions about potentially losing an ally, potentially losing somebody who will vote for you to win $1 million, rather than, oh, I'm going to lose my vote, or, but I could get this advantage. No, I could go on this reward with people I like, or I could take the person that strategically makes the most sense. Those are the dilemmas we need. And get creative with how you're going to use the sanctuary, because the sanctuary is freaking redundant at this point. And everything I've said is keeping them in Fiji, and everything I've said is keeping if they keep doing 26 days. Hopefully one day they leave Fiji. Hopefully one day they do go back to 39 days. But if they have to stay that way, these are the things that are going to work. So that's my opinion on how you fix it. That's how you fix Survivor. That's how this new era of Survivor gets fixed. Don't focus on the cast. The casting is fine. They're casting fine. I think they're casting fine. And I think every season of Survivor, the cast is fine. There's really no season where I'm like, oh God, how did they put these people on? Might be one or two, but for the most part, they're casting fine. The focus needs to be on what's taking place on the island and what the dynamic is. What do you have to gain and what do you have to lose by the decisions that you are making? And are you making those decisions? And how can Survivor give more power back to the players and be creative with how the players have to make decisions and have to make game moves that aren't just based around idols and advantages? That's what I think. And get freaking physical with the challenges. Let's have real challenges. Let's have actual challenges. Let's not just have run, do this, go do a puzzle, and then you're out. So that's what I have. Probably not going to hear from me for a little bit. I'm pretty much in transit for the next month. So you're not going to hear from me for a little. But when I come back, it'll be mid-July already. And I think we'll probably only be about 2 months out from the premiere of Survivor Season 45, which obviously nothing I say is going to change Survivor 45. It's not going to change anything. But maybe other people will take this and kind of run with it and talk about it and do all of that. Anyway. Thank you all for listening. Hope you enjoyed this little special podcast and share it, talk about it, put it out there, comment, like the video, do all that fun stuff. Become patrons, patreon.com/survivorspecialist. Alexa and I and McKenna and John aren't doing much right now, but if you want to get a head start, we're going to be doing, you know, still our Q&A and our retro for this month. And then we'll start getting a little bit more into it come August and September. So a little slow right now, but if you want to become one, we have our Discord where people are always posting and Rigo can try to explain his shirt because I still don't get it. I still don't get it, man. I don't get it. So anyway, that's what we have to say about that. Thank you all for listening and I'll see you next time.